You're listening to All Marine Radio, broadcasting from Costa Mesa, California, on the All Warrior Radio Network. Birthday. Welcome to my house. Happy 36th birthday, Peyton. What? No, I think Peyton's like 19, right? Just turned 19. Congratulations. Yeah. Yeah, our own favorite country and Western singer. She sings both type of music. Yeah, that's one of those things you learn in the military. What kind of music you like, Duffy? Duffy, born and raised in Memphis. Got spanked by Brother Ansel Minor at the, I can't remember the name, but something, something Baptist Academy. Yeah, like the long metal paddle. Yeah, Duffy got that thing. Put your hands on the desk, Duff. Pew! I'm sorry, brother. I'm sorry, brother. I won't do it again. You say that every time you're in here, Duff. That's right. That's how we used to do it. So, yeah, late at night, right, walking around the woods in Quantico, getting poked in the eye. You know, there's etiquette, woodwalking etiquette, and that is you don't allow branches to snap on in the face of the people behind you. Yeah, it's pretty irritating when people violate the code of conduct in the woods. But anyway, Duffy, he didn't do that. He's a good Southern kid. He knew how to walk in the woods. He knew how to make sure you didn't get whapped in the face, right? When he's in front of you and he's coming out of a creek or a stream on a muddy bank, he always reaches back and sticks his hands out. He knows how to be a brother. So anyway, yeah, the code of the samurai in the woods. So anyway, one night, sitting around waiting for somebody. Hey, Duff, what kind of music do you like? I like both kinds, Mac. Oh, really? Yeah. Country and Western. Yeah. So Peyton, our favorite. That's right. The, yeah, I know nothing about Peyton Davis, right? And F-18 man, who I was talking to yesterday about the F-18 thing over 29 Palms. I'm like, dude, how do people go bump like that? He goes, hey, it happens. I'm like, oh, my God. He goes, well, sometimes you get distracted. I said, really? So he tells me about his niece. And she tells me, yeah, I mean, I think if you listen to the program, you know, Peyton's father took his own life when she was a junior in high school. She a junior army. I know. Don't say it, all right? Hold your comments, please. So she's a junior army ROTC master sergeant. Yeah. Who forgot the lyrics to the national anthem once. And then the best part about that story is her mom just let her have it. What the hell happened? Like all good parents do. Like if you're a parent and your kids screw shit up and you don't get in their ass, like, are you kidding? How did you miss that pass? He was wide open right in front of you. I don't know. I'm sorry. Oh, yeah, it's easy to be sorry now. Now that we lost the game. We, Dad, you're not even on the team. Shut up. So if you're a parent and you don't, like, do that to your kids, you're shortchanging their kids. If you're like, oh, it's okay as long as you tried hard, you're going to raise a loser. Trust me. Because they will not have the appropriate level of motivation. But Peyton got motivated. Yeah, the story's pretty funny, actually. She's singing the national anthem at something. Goes blank. And then the thing ends. That's right. Mom rolls in. That's right. Hey. But anyway, it's Peyton's birthday today. So, yeah. So I meet Peyton and we do an interview. And honestly, in the last 2 weeks, I've got some very cool emails from people that, you know, that discover post-traumatic winning. But I got two, I want to say either a week ago or 2 weeks ago today, I think. They were on Friday. And Peyton was in Mexico and crossed paths with a woman whose husband's a Marine. And she was struggling. And Peyton laid a little post-traumatic winning on her. And, you know, the coolest part of this whole experience is, you know, when people go through tough things, I mean, that's a black place. And when you can say, hey, you're not alone, man, there's a whole bunch of us that are there. And are you interested about learning about where you're at in this black hole that we live in? And they say, yeah. And then you have the ability to influence them. And then they get a chance to do it for other people. And so that's where Peyton is, and that's what she's doing. It's pretty cool. I got her email along with the email from the Master Hill that was on earlier this week. And they're just, they're awesome emails. And the cool part about it, the coolest part of all of it is, they change people's lives, and it's just, it's like a gift that keeps giving, and it's awesome. So, happy birthday there, girlfriend. Keep doing what you're doing, and oh my God, she's got a twin. Who the hell is her twin? She just sent a picture, it's so cool because, you know, the things that people go through, I mean, those are black places. And then, you know, then you just share the knowledge that is resident in our culture, in our very cool warrior culture, with people that go through traumatic stuff. And then they begin to touch the lives of other people. And, yeah, as Libby in Alabama said, it's a tsunami, Mac. You just keep touching people who touch 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 people. Yeah, boom. So, anyway, yeah, it's Peyton's birthday all day. Hold on, email. Mac, how old is she? I don't know. She's like 20-something, I would think. Right. If I had to estimate, I'd say 24. That's what I would estimate. You can find her music and her work. All you got to do is do a little search on iTunes, do a search on Google Music, do a search on Amazon Music. She's 23. Sorry about that. It doesn't matter. Once you're 22, you're legit in a bar, right? 21, you're a novice in a bar. 22, you're legit. And after that, there's no need to have another birthday. All it is getting older. That's right. So you got that going for you. The so this is my favorite version of Happy Birthday, sung by Marilyn Monroe, and that's right, to John Kennedy. And I always, whenever I hear this, I always laugh when I hear it, because can you imagine his friends like sitting there like nobody, well, I don't know how many people knew that the president was involved in with Marilyn Monroe. Okay. But his friends knew, right? His friends knew. And so now they're going to have a big birthday party for the president of the United States in Madison Square Garden. And she rolls out in that dress they had to sew onto her. Hello? Like, and then she bombs that. And I always think about his friends sitting there and thinking, oh, my God. Right? And remember, this is like in 1961 or something like that. This is not in like 2003 or 4. Okay? So, this is dedicated to P. Davis. Happy birthday. Funny. And then you can imagine John Kennedy walking into the White House that night, putting his keys into the tray and hearing from the bedroom, get in here. What? I didn't do anything. I can't help it if she likes me and sing that song like that. What? So, yeah, I always think that's funny for whatever reason. Anyway, so happy birthday to Peyton Davis out there all day. And like I said, you could buy her music if you want to give her a birthday present. Or you know what? You could just listen to it. So you'll hear it coming out of the first break. The United States Marine Corps Band makes it official on this Friday. Good morning to you. Oh, wait a minute. That's wrong as wrong can be. Whitney Houston sings one of the greatest renditions on Friday. Excuse me. Peyton's birthday threw me off. Here's Whitney Houston singing it at the Super Bowl. Whoa, Whitney Houston, Peyton Davis, Marilyn Monroe. Thank you. somebody just sent me an email, and let me read it to you. Mac, why doesn't Peyton sing the national anthem? Good question. Why doesn't Peyton sing the national anthem? So there you go. There's your birthday present, Peyton. You need to record the national anthem and send it to us so we can play it. That's right. So, you know what? Good thought. I did that when I used to do my talk show years ago. If you would sing, you know, whether it be Cub Scout Pack, you know, whatever, if you would sing the national anthem, or choirs, high school choirs, college choirs, if you would sing it, I would play it. If you would take the time to sing it, and it wasn't, you didn't make a farce out of it or do something stupid with it, I would play it. And it was always cool stuff. It was always, and some of it was beautiful. I have a rendition that two girls sang at the Warren Alvarado Oslo School. It's K through 12, for God's sakes, right? Everybody in one auditorium on Veterans Day, and I was invited to speak there. And, you know, it's a town of, I don't know, Warren Alvarado Oslo. There's three small farming communities. There might be 6,000 people between them. And so K through 12, where everybody knows each other, and what song did they sing? Hold on, and these two girls busted this version out of the national anthem, and they sang it a cappella, and Adair Randstrom was one of the girls' names. You've got to be kidding me. And so you're on stage, right? And and so all of a sudden they, you know, they say, would so and so and so and so, here it is, all right, would so and so and so and so come up and sing the national anthem? And you're like, okay, this is, you know, this will be interesting. And and these two girls come up and they sing this version of it. And I remember standing there, and I had my dress blue uniform on because I was a guest speaker. And I was on stage, right, at the position of attention, so you can't do a whole lot. And I was like, whoa. So when I got up to speak, I stopped. I said, okay, before I say anything, where are those two girls that sang the national anthem? And everybody looked at them, right? And they were like, here. And I said, can you guys hang out afterwards, and could I record it and play it on my radio show if you don't mind? And they were like, yes. So this version is after the whole program, and everybody leaves the auditorium, me with my laptop and a microphone, and them holding the microphone, obviously, and they let this rip a cappella.
Oh, say, can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hailed at the twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight o'er the ramparts we watched were so gallantly streaming, and the rockets reckless, the bombs bursting in air, gave proof through the night that our flag was
busted that thing out that day, and I remember just thinking, are you kidding me? So let me tell you, life in if you've never lived it, life in rural America is pretty cool. It's pretty cool because you meet people and they're doing good things in communities, and you know, kids can't get away. Everybody knows who you are. Hey, you're Mufasa's son. Yeah, I'm Simba. Yep, I know you. I know your dad, too. Does he know you're down here doing this? What? Doing what? I'm not doing anything. Yeah, you're about to get in trouble. And then the other thing I would do, I would play the Pledge of Allegiance. And you would have... Listen to this. These are Cub Scouts. So they would send these in to me, and I would play them. So listen to this. This is hilarious.
Boy Scouts from East Grand Forks, Pack 37, and these are the Bear Cubs reciting the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands. One nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
A little bit too motivated, one of those. And then Red Skelton had a version of the Pledge of Allegiance that I used to play. There's a short version and a long. He did it during his show. There's a long version that he does. And he... talks about this teacher they had by the name of Mr. Glasswell. And everybody, many of you don't know what the Red Skelton Show was, but back in the 60s, he was a very popular comedian. And I believe he was a veteran, but I'm not sure. And he talks in the long version. He talks about wouldn't it be a pity if they removed "under God" from the Pledge of Allegiance. So here's the short version of Red Skelton.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Since I was a small boy, two states have been added to our country, and two words have been added to the Pledge of Allegiance: under God. Wouldn't it be a pity if someone said that is a prayer, and that would be eliminated from schools, too?
Red Skelton, yeah, getting all political in the 60s, right? That's when he did that. He did that in the 60s. Let me see if I can find the long version of that. It's kind of interesting. And again, that he did it. He did it back then, all those years ago. Hold on, I've got to find it. Peyton's birthday, little trip down memory lane here. I used to run into those girls. They started going to school at the University of North Dakota, which was a few blocks from my house. And sometimes at hockey games or something, I would run into them. Let me see if I can find Red Skelton. 4 minutes and 14 seconds. All right. Here's the version of Red Skelton where he talks about how he learned, who taught him the Pledge of Allegiance. And it's pretty cool. Now, mind you, Red Skelton, I want to say his show was a comedy show that came on like Wednesday night. My mother, Corporal Punishment Kathleen, she thought he was funny. And so we watched it. We had one TV. Kathleen ruled the roost, man. Before there was any remote control. A remote control was known as a child. Hey, turn it to channel 10. All right. And that's what you did. You didn't have, yeah. It was voice activated. Your kid. But so this is him. And you can tell at the start of it, people think it's kind of a comedy sketch, I think.
Getting back to school. I remember a teacher that I had. Now, I went through the seventh grade. I went to the seventh grade. I left home when I was 10 years old because I was hungry. And I used to, this is true. I work in the summer. I go to school in the winter. But I had this one teacher. It was the principal of the Harrison School in Vincennes, Indiana. To me, this was the greatest teacher, a real sage of my time, anyhow. He had such wisdom. And we were all reciting the Pledge of Allegiance one day. And he walked over, this little old teacher. Mr. Laswell was his name. Mr. Laswell. He says, I've been listening to you boys and girls recite the Pledge of Allegiance all semester. And it seems as though it's becoming monotonous to you. If I may I recite it and try to explain to you the meaning of each word? I, me, an individual, a committee of one, pledge, dedicate all of my worldly goods to give without self-pity. Allegiance, my love and my devotion to the flag, our standard, O glory, a symbol of freedom, wherever she waves, there's respect, because your loyalty has given her a dignity that shouts, freedom is everybody's job. United. That means that we have all come together. States. Individual communities that have united into 48 great states. 48 individual communities with pride and dignity and purpose. All divided with imaginary boundaries, yet united to a common purpose. And that's love for country. And to the Republic. Republic. A state in which sovereign power is invested in representatives chosen by the people to govern. And government is the people. And it's from the people to the leaders. Not from the leaders to the people. For which it stands. One nation, meaning so blessed by God, indivisible, incapable of being divided, with liberty, which is freedom, the right of power to live one's own life without threats, fear, or some sort of retaliation, and justice, the principle or qualities of dealing fairly with others. For all. Which means, boys and girls, it's as much your country as it is mine. And now, boys and girls, let me hear you recite the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Since I was a small boy, two states have been added to our country, and two words have been added to the Pledge of Allegiance, under God. Wouldn't it be a pity if someone said that is a prayer? And that would be eliminated from schools, too.
So I would play that after the National Anthem every day. And it was... and so then, like, so that's how you did the Boy Scouts of PAC, whatever it was, from East Grand Forks, sent that in. And so I would get these. And it just added, you know, it added to the it added to, I thought, the ambiance of the program. And so, it's so very cool. But the story of the national anthem that day was yeah, two girls who just stood up and sang it a cappella. And in a small farm town in northwest Minnesota on a Friday for a Veterans Day observance. And again, kindergarten through seniors in high school in the class. And it's very cool. I'd never been in a school like that, right? I'm, you know, K through 12. And they're all over the country in rural America. You know, it's one building. So, and then, but the other thing is, the kids know each other, right? I mean, there's not that many kids in town. They know each other. And they take care of each other, too. You see things that happen in the hallway where there's seniors in high school and they bump into little kids. And it's, I just thought it was, I came away that day, like, that was really cool. The other thing was that the mayor of the city, who invited me to speak, his son, I just got back from Fallujah. It was in 2006, and his son was home on leave from Fallujah. Yeah, so it was cool. It was cool. So I made him stand up and recognized him. And I mean, you can imagine in a small community like that, you know, the high school observance and guest speakers and things like that is something that a lot of people from this town came in and they were at, with the students sitting in front of the auditorium and all the rest of that stuff. So it was cool. But anyway, that's where that comes from. So, this is dedicated to, on her birthday, to P. Davis. Keep helping people, Peyton. Right? Peyton, doing good stuff and very proud of her and touching the lives of other people. So, nice job, girlfriend. This is for you.
Betraying your whole life if you don't say what you think, and you don't say it honestly and bluntly.
It defines us. It defines warriors like Gunnery Sergeant John Canley, a leader who led from the front. With his Marines outnumbered, he pushed forward during the Battle of Way City, standing tall during firefights and throwing himself into harm's way to keep his fellow Marines safe.
The only thing I was doing was just responding. The Marines, the young Marines, it shows them that it's not do as I say, it's do as I do. And just being that close with them brings motivation to them.
During firefights, when we'd be all hugging Mother Earth, he'd be standing up directing us. And I think if you talk to every Alpha Company Marine, we're amazed that he was never shot.
For this campus had prepared him well. I'm very confident that, thank you very much. If this was vodka, it'd be a lot better speech. <clears throat> that I'm not supposed to glamorize alcohol anymore. So, young folks, you ignore what I just said.
What keeps you awake at night?
Nothing. I keep other people awake at night.
I had a Vietnam vet tell me one time, Jeremiah, you know, PTSD, it's like having a cage in your brain. It's like having a cage full of monkeys. The goal is to keep the monkeys in the cage, because once the bastards make the jailbreak, all hell breaks loose. So you want to keep them in the cage.
Once you're out of the core, you know, it's your responsibility to live your life.
Here's another small town America guy.
In a way that would honor those that were with you and died. I mean, don't waste your life. Goodness, do something meaningful and don't be going out there saying, look, oh, woe is me. I'm a poor veteran or I'm a disabled veteran. Well, yeah, I am a disabled veteran. But, you know, we can't have that kind of attitude. We've got to show people that, hey, we care about our country. We care about what happens to everyone. Marine Corps changed me. It made me a better man, but I don't know a Marine that wouldn't tell you the same thing, Mike.
I love that, man. Right? Well, goodness. It's two words.
We just have to execute. And we are executing every day. And Sergeant Major and I are very proud of what you do. Doesn't mean we can't get better. We don't want to make a mistake to learn. We don't want to lose to learn. We cannot lose if we have to go fight. We got to do what these Marines did here 75 years ago. Persevere against difficult, challenging conditions and odds and win. You got to win.
As we continue to open the show, here's an email from Northwest Minnesota. I knew immediately which anthem rendition you were talking about! Before you even said Juan Alvarado Oslo, I knew which one you were talking about. The total population of the three towns is probably about 2,400 people. You rock. Yeah, representing Northwest Minnesota here on your home for it, All Marine Radio. No, honestly, I mean, it's you see the best of life in small town America. You know, people know each other, and that's why the stuff you see on TV, and that's not our country, man. That is not, like I say, it's a slicked up version of the Jerry Springer show designed to sell advertising and make people money. That's not our country, right? Our country is a whole lot of people who give a shit. And it's the sad part is that it's not reflected by our media, and certainly not reflected by our politicians. We'll check the weather right now, and we'll take a break, and then we'll come back and check the news. Currently, there's a wintry mix in Quantico. It's 37 degrees, so technically not cold enough to snow, but they have some form of ice event going on. So good luck in D.C. So 37 degrees there. In Camp Lejeune, it is cloudy and 52. Granbury, Texas, where it was 24 degrees the other day, it's now 62. That's right. Texas cannot make up its mind. 29 Palms is sunny and 45. Pendleton, cloudy and 46. Okinawa, dark, cloudy, raining and 65. And the Alambar province, it borders an area where Islamic State fighters are surrendering. And then there's some remainings. Close to 2,000 women and children have come out of the enclave that is just west of the Iraqi-Syrian border along the Euphrates River. I can't remember the name of the city now. If you give me a second, I'll remember it. But yeah, there it is dark, cloudy, and 57 degrees. And in the Helmand province of Afghanistan, it is clear, dark, and 57 degrees. At the home of All Marine Radio, it is a little bit sunny, not very much. It is 52 degrees. And that's what we have going for us today. Looking for a high of 59, tomorrow 59, and Sunday, rain and 58. So, there you have it. All right. On the day that we celebrate Peyton Davis's birthday, we'll take a break. More of Auburn Radio coming up next.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of the 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Matt, Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner is looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So, a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when a grunt can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nelson. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs@allmarineradio.com, and I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.
A message from DAV to all returning veterans. Thank you. Thank you for doing your duty. Thank you for doing our bidding. Thank you for laying it all on the line. Thank you for stepping up and not backing down. Thank you for putting your future on hold to put our enemies on notice. Thank you for putting your buddies' lives ahead of your own. Thank you for putting yourself in harm's way. Thank you for defending our freedom, for displaying your honor, for being a hero, even though you don't want to be called one. For all this and more, DAV thanks you. And we're here to help you. Expert DAV advisors will make sure you get the health, disability, and financial benefits you were promised and earned. If you're a veteran, visit DAV.org for free help. And again, thank you.
I'm good, but I have a story, and I don't know where to start.
I'm good, but I feel alone in the crowd.
I'm good, but the past keeps coming back.
When the service member or veteran in your life says,
I'm good.
Are you really listening?
I'm good, but I can't get out of bed.
I'm good, but I can't sleep.
I'm good, but I feel overwhelmed.
I'm good, but I don't feel safe.
I'm good, but I still have nightmares.
I'm good, but I don't need any help.
I'm good, but I don't feel anything anymore.
I'm good, but I can't live like this anymore.
I'm really not so good. But are you ready to listen?
Suicide prevention is everyone's responsibility. Listen to the veteran or service member in your life. If you are in crisis or know someone who is, call the Veterans Crisis Line and Military Crisis Line at 1-800-273-8255 and press 1 for free 24/7 confidential support.
Hi, I'm Colleen McNamara. And you're listening to My Dad on All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
The birthday girl. Colleen got her permit the other day, by the way. Exactly. Shit.
I want to walk into a cold, bitter ocean, feel
hurt. When I think of it, it's like, when I hear it, it means it's okay to hurt. Southern girls sing about cigarettes. They're like that. I'll play you another song of Peyton's before we get to the news. We might not get to the news today, right? It's just the way it is. Here's another song of hers that I enjoy. It's called Nowhere America. Kind of about small town America. Not really kind of about, it is about small town America. Yeah, your 50,000-watt music mother of the valley. Wall-to-wall Peyton Davis this morning. Let me play another song you just sent me. This is a cool story. Ohio man has a daughter that serves, okay? And he just sent me a video of her singing the national anthem before a basketball game, okay? What happened was, like, the sound system broke as they got ready to play the national anthem. So she walks out and says, "I'll sing that song, bitch." I mean, "I'll sing that song." She didn't say "some bitch." I'm joking about that. So here it is. Oh, hold on. You got to unmute these things before you hit play. Sorry about that. All right, here we go. Never heard it. Today, man. Walk out of the bleachers stone cold and like, I'll sing that. Give me that microphone, you. How cool is that? Yep. That's why, when you think about small town, when I think about small town America, and I grew up in medium to big size town America, and especially in California, the weather is such that you don't really count on each other for a whole lot. And then you move to small town America where you count on each other. And it's a completely different way of living and growing up when, you see somebody who slides off the road in a ditch. You stop your car, you stop your truck, hopefully. If you're a guy, you got a truck. And you get your chain or your strap out and you pull them out of the ditch. You make sure they're okay. And in the spring when the snow thaws and the rivers rise, you know, the high school's let out and the kids go down and they sandbag and they're coming back from sandbagging rivers and stuff, and people see them, they're just filthy, dirty. Restaurants send food out there to keep them fed and happy, and they people buy their gas, people say thank you, and they just grow up, they grow up, I think, feeling needed and connected, and you grow up in a big city, you don't feel that, you feel nothing, right? You're just a small speck in this monstrosity of a city. And so, I think that's why small town America is so much better for raising kids than raising your kids in big cities. We live where we live, and you do the best you can. But having lived in both, I thought it was so good for our kids, you know, to be part of a community where people knew who you were. And I do think small town America life is the highest quality of life, especially for young people, because they do feel connected and you are part of something. That is a little bit of a throwback to the way people used to grow up, right? Hey, you're Mike McNamara's kid. You're Susan McNamara's kid, right? Yeah. What are you doing? Nothing. Or, you know, when it snows, you know, you get the snowblower out or you get the shovel and you go down the sidewalk and you snowblow everybody's sidewalk, especially the older people that live on the block, right? And you get the shovels out and you shovel their walkway. And your kids just, they grow up knowing to do that. That's their responsibility. So it's pretty cool way to grow up. I got elected to the city council of Grand Forks, North Dakota when I was in Iraq. And I wasn't supposed to run, but I didn't know that. So I ran and got elected. So I'm in Iraq, I get elected when I'm back here. So, I get home and there was a really bad snowstorm. And after a day or so, the plows get out and they plow the streets, right? Well, what happens is they plow the street when there's not much snow, right? What do you get in front of your driveway? You get a 2 to 3 foot high, pile of snow and ice. It's about, you know, what, 3 feet thick at the bottom and maybe 3 feet tall, 3-4 feet tall, depending on how much snow you get. And so I'm at home and I get a phone call from a woman who's in my ward. And she said, I don't know what to do. My husband's got an appointment for his heart at the hospital. I called the hospital and they said that they're open. And the hospital was only a mile and a half from her home. She said, but I can't get my garage out of the car. She said, I can't get my car out of the garage. And she said, could you help me? And I said, of course I can help you. She said, well, should I call the city? And I said, no. Let me grab Patrick and we'll grab the snowblower and we'll be over in 10 minutes. And she said, okay. So get on the phone. Patrick, I don't know what Patrick was doing. I said, yo, Goof, his nickname. Goof, you're coming with me. Let's go. He goes, where are we going? I said, you got a snowblow. And he said, all right. So we grab our Carhartt coats and gloves and caps. And, you know, we grab the snowblower, throw it in the back of the truck, and drive, I don't know, a few blocks to her house. And it was like a no shit, like wall of ice and snow in front of her, you know, paralleling the sidewalk, and she couldn't get out. And she's got like a sedan, so it's not like she got a truck, so she could get a running start and blast through it like a lot of hicks do. But, so we get out, and you could not have shoveled that. Too heavy, it's too much. And so I said, time to be a man there, Patrick. And so fired up the snowblower. So Patrick's snowblowing the driveway and a hole that she can get through. And then she brings out food. She brought out, she goes, "Did you drink coffee, tea?" I said, "He'll drink some hot chocolate if you have it." I said, "So will I." She said, "Okay." So stood in the garage and talked with her and her husband. And they were just the nicest people. And she just looked, she said, "How do I ever say thank you? I will always vote for you. I will always vote for you." I said, "Oh, don't worry about that." But I said, "No." I said, "My mom would beat the shit out of me if she knew that I called you. You called me and I didn't help you." And she laughed. She said, "You must have had a good mom." I said, "I had a serious mom." No, my mom was great. But I honestly think about that. Like, what would if somebody asked me to help and I didn't help, what would Kathleen say? Kathleen would be dead in my shit, man. You did what? All right, let me just read some news headlines. I don't know why I'm going to do this. I do want to cover one story, though. Much in the news, but headline yesterday, hearings with all the service chiefs. Again, the thing that bothers me about this story is these complaints have been around for a long time and they didn't do shit. And the only reason this happened is because those wives went on TV and just stuck it in their face. Now, that's wrong. I don't know who's supposed to oversee this shit, but that whoever those people are should be fired, every one of them. They should be put out of the military. It should not take those women, those spouses, to say, "Fuck it, I'll go on TV," to embarrass them, to humiliate them, to get people to act. So whoever was a part of whatever system used to be there ought to get their asses fired, right? And I mean fired today and put out of the military today. Senators press military, senior military leaders, service chiefs, right, on the plans and timelines to fix the systemic problems with military housing. Some urge the leaders to pursue legal action against some of the privatized housing companies during a hearing on Thursday. This is former Marine Dick Blumenthal, right? Richard Blumenthal from Connecticut, right? He's the one that said he was in Vietnam and then say, "Whoa, not me." The president calls him Saigon Dick or something like that. Anyway, I think there are clear indications of fraud. I would recommend these issues be referred to the Department of Justice. Yeah. This is a very risk-free cash cow. Very few landlords in the country have tenants who are obligated to pay for decades without any real accountability. That's a fact. That's a straight-up fact. And that's how bullshit this is. And so all the boilerplate, right, all the boilerplate that got put up there yesterday was just exactly that, boilerplate. Okay. We're dealing with a problem that has festered for a long time. Why? Why when you're talking about black mold was it allowed to fester? That's what I don't get. Senator Gary Peters, Democrat of Michigan, showed pictures of black mold in a home in Michigan Michigan native, a soldier living at Fort Bragg, North Carolina, which has been repeatedly deemed unlivable. It's also infested with termites. Then he brought out a larger picture of a mansion on 100 acres. That's owned by the guy who owns the company that manages the Fort Bragg housing. The landlord lives like this. These folks live like this. And these are our soldiers, our sailors, our airmen and Marines. The soldier's husband told Peters he'd like to join the Army, but he may not be able to now because of respiratory issues that may be due to the housing. And then you heard this kind of shit yesterday. "I wholeheartedly apologize to these families who have had to live in such despicable conditions. It's unconscionable." You know, but again, this is Army Secretary Mark Esper. But again, you've known about it. They've all known about it. That's the shit of all this. That these people had to go through all this to have this happen. And it pisses, if you can't tell, it pisses me off. A few headlines. A SEAL and a Marine Raider seek plea deals in the murder of Staff Sergeant Melgar in Mali, that one. So one SEAL and one Raider are seeking plea deals. I don't know what that does because there's two SEALs and two Raiders involved in it. Third headline, African terrorist groups, quote, aren't necessarily a threat to the homeland, AFRICOM leader says. So we're drawing down in Africa. So now we're selling that these terrorist groups aren't a threat anymore. Okay, interesting. Number four, Indo-Pacific Command, used to be known as PACOM or the Pacific Command. Beijing's military activity in the South China Sea is not reducing. And then I want to just one quick story about the South China Sea. There's a story in Forbes, and the headline in Forbes is South China Sea, Indonesia and Vietnam proved Duterte wrong. So the Philippines has taken a certain tack relative to China. Indonesia joined Vietnam recently to challenge Duterte's doctrine in the South China Sea. That's the notion that any Asia-Pacific country that dares to tame Beijing's ambition to control the entire South China Sea will face war with China. This week, Indonesia drew a red line in the South China Sea, establishing fishing rights in areas where China claims that their rights are overlapping. Indonesia's move comes roughly 2 years after the country renamed its maritime region in the southwest part of the South China Sea as the Northern Natura Sea, asserting sovereignty in the area. Meanwhile, Vietnam has taken its own steps to tame Beijing's ambitions to control all of the South China Sea. Last month, Hanoi pushed for a pact to outlaw many of China's ongoing activities in the South China Sea, like the building of artificial islands, blockades and offensive weaponry such as missile deployments and air defense identification zones, a conduct code China initiated in 2013. So, kind of interesting, as the United States has kind of stood up on its hind legs in the region, the Brits have joined us, and now, lo and behold, you have nations like Indonesia and Vietnam pushing back and say, just because the Chinese say it so, it does not have to be that way. So, interesting. There's another article in the Japan Times entitled, Beijing Should Define Its So-Called Ownership in the South China Sea. And that is from the mouth of Malaysian Prime Minister Mahathir. So, pretty interesting. You know, China being taken on in a very public way by both Vietnam and Indonesia. So, and that's a good thing. There's also one more article I would point out to you. Alex Hollings writes a pretty cool article in Popular Mechanics about a conversation with an F-35 pilot, what it's like to fly that aircraft. I would recommend that to you. Also in Popular Mechanics is what you need to know about the South China Sea, the world's next hotspot. So it's a cool little article with some maps, and it tells you why it's important and whatnot. So, anywho. All right, we'll take a break. When we come back, the chef will join us. That's right. The All-Marine Radio head chef. And he's not from that part of the country. He lives in North Dakota. But he was born in Hagerstown, Maryland, lived in Cincinnati. Right? So he's kind of a big city guy. And that went to a small town. So we'll talk to him about that. And I got an email earlier this week asking me to ask him about sugar. So don't touch that dial. This program continues on Peyton Davis's birthday. More of All Marine Radio coming up next on your home for it, the All Warrior Radio Network.
We all have the ability to touch the lives of those around us. Moms, dads, neighbors, teachers, friends. These are the people who are always there to listen when we need to talk. Though their actions may not always be monumental, they are always felt. To someone going through a difficult time, a text, a call, or a visit can mean so much. Reach out to the veterans in your life today. Let them know they're not alone. One simple act can make all the difference. That's the power of one. If you're a veteran in crisis or know one who is, Visit VeteransCrisisLine.net for free 24/7 confidential support. Or call 1-800-273-8255 and press 1.